Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Deductive Reasoning Center here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, it has to do
Explain
with...
Explain me.
Here's what it is. It has to do with the research, especially having to do with food, health, and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, one day eggs are bad, the next day eggs are good. Coffee's good, coffee's bad. Wine, no. Wine, yes.
Hot fudge sundaes.
Hot fudge
been a ruling
sundaes
on
have
them yet?
Always been okay. But here this sort of explains it. Who did it come from? We don't know who it came from. Here it is what it says. The Japanese eat very little fat and suffer fewer heart attacks than the British or Americans. On the other hand, the French eat a lot of fat, and they also suffer fewer heart attacks than the British or Americans. The Japanese drink very little red wine and suffer fewer heart attacks than the British or Americans. The Italians drink excessive amounts of red wine and also suffer fewer heart attacks than the British or Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Conclusion, eat and drink whatever you want. It's speaking English that's killing you. Right. Is that deductive reasoning or
well,
what?
He's close.
Yeah.
It's living here.
Yeah.
That's doing it.
It is living here because we're so into making money.
Well, I want to know how the French, I have a brother-in-law who lives in France and is married to a French woman. And she gets like, I don't know, 18, 19 weeks of vacation every year.
Yeah.
So whenever we call their house,
they're
we get
away.
The answering machine, and they call us like 5 or 6 days later. Oh, we were in the Alps, and oh, we were in Ireland. Or...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but they have places built into their infrastructure to hang out, like coffee shops.
Yes.
We don't have coffee shops. I mean, we have
coffee. No, we have drive-up windows.
Drive-up windows.
Don't even get out of your car. We don't want you out of the car. Get your stuff and get the hell out.
Get out of here. And no place to just sit down and do nothing. And if you do go in someplace and sit down and do nothing, they're on your case.
They arrest you for loitering.
Can I help you? Is that it? You're all done? Would you like to see the dessert menu? I just had the dessert. Yeah, we're crazy.
Yeah, well, it's us. It's not the diet. It's not the wine. It's not the fish.
It's the stress,
it's,
man.
It's
the stress.
Well, you can see it in us.
And no one knows it more than
us.
I.
Anyway, if you have stress in your life and you'd like help, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK, especially if that stress is coming from your car.
That's or from listening to us.
That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ellen in Brookline, Massachusetts. Thanks for taking my
call. Hey, Ellen, Brookline, man, we so seldom get calls from Massachusetts.
I know, I could practically yell out my window to you guys and you could answer. I don't own a car, but my parents very generously loan us their car when they go away for the winter, which is great. And they came home recently for a few days, and I handed my dad his car keys on my key ring, and he was just aghast. He told me I had so many keys on my key ring that
you were going to wear out his ignition switch.
Well, he said I was going to rip out the ignition from so many keys.
Wear out, rip out, same thing.
Yeah.
And I had this awful picture of, you know, where you put the key in just falling out.
And all kinds of sinew attached to it, right? Because it's
wires
a living, breathing
down.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I took the keys, you know, I separated them immediately because it's his car. And if he wants me to, you know, stand on my head before I get in, I will. But is that true?
What kind of a car is it? It makes a difference, you know.
It's a Chevy Malibu, and they were really nice. They got it in November and left in December and still left it to us tomorrow. It was really nice of them.
And here's the other question. When you put the key in the ignition and you're sitting there in the driver's seat, do the keys rest on your knee?
No, it's not that many, in my opinion, but I mean, it doesn't look like the school janitor's
key.
But
do you walk, if you put these in your pocket, would you walk with a limp?
Well, no. I mean, I counted. I have 9 keys.
9 keys. That's a lot of keys.
That's a lot of keys. I think you're probably on the borderline.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the limit is 10, depending on how big the keys are. Your father is theoretically and technically correct. Ooh, that's a shocker, huh?
He'll be glad to hear that.
That's a shocker, isn't it?
We've seen many a case where a large number of keys on a key ring will wear out an ignition switch.
Good thing I separated them, huh?
It's a good one.
You'd be in deep trouble. When they got back and their car didn't start, who would they blame? Ellen.
Well, the fact that you've only done it for a few months and you will never do it again.
No, that is true.
probably means you're saved. But at the same time, you can tell your father that he was probably right to go flying off the handle like
but
that.
But the first time that you lock the keys in the car, you'll abandon this whole idea.
All right, good point. All right, well, thanks so much for the answer. I appreciate it.
All right, Ellen.
My dad.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. That was short and sweet.
Hey, she got her answer off. She was.
Yeah,
gone.
She didn't have to waste any time talking to us.
No
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. And we didn't have to waste the time asking her, where's Brookline,
Massachusetts?
To the rest of the world.
What do you do for a living?
Right.
Yeah.
All that unnecessary.
Her name was Ellen.
What the weather's like.
I was going to ask.
The weather's the same there as what?
The weather's the same here. Yeah. Ellen has got two L's and two E's. I mean, what else is there to talk about?
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Great. Who's this?
This is Ken from Berkeley.
Hi, Ken from Berkeley.
What's the weather in Berkeley?
The weather's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is this time of year.
See, but Berkeley's got places to hang out. That's because it's students, and they ain't got nothing to do, man. Classes are irrelevant. It's interesting that students know what to do. They know how to hang out.
Actually, I'm a graduate student and a teacher, so I've got about 250 students that are waiting for me later on this week to give them a lecture, and I hope that they're paying some attention.
They'll wait all day. You don't show up, they'll just sit there and shoot the breeze. And they'll order a pizza to come, like Sean Penn did. So what's up, Ken?
I've got a mystery. I have a 1991 Saab 9000, and the mystery is, why was I so stupid to buy this car?
It's putting you in the poorhouse?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you over 40? You don't sound it.
No.
Do you ever smoke a pipe?
No.
No.
Do you ever have a jacket with the leather patches on the elbows?
No, definitely not.
No, that's a Northeastern thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I thought that was a Saab thing.
Oh, and Saab, but only a Saab thing if you live
in
the Northeast.
Yeah, if you live in... Okay. You ever have an Hawaiian shirt with patches on the elbows? All right. So go ahead.
Okay, so it drinks clutch fluid. I put clutch fluid in, and I drive it, and it can only go for about 20 uses of the clutch, and then it's gone.
Oh.
And so how long has it been doing this? About 10 gallons worth?
It's been doing it for about 10 months.
You need to go.
Let me just ask. What conclusion did you reach after like the second or third month? That
He couldn't find the leak.
Well, here's the thing. I took it into the shop.
Oh, you did do something.
Oh, they told him it was the clutch slave cylinder.
Exactly, the master. They replaced the master cylinder.
No,
that wasn't it.
They checked the slave cylinder, and they said it was dry. And they told me that they thought that a little piece of hose had disintegrated, and it was somewhere in the line. And if I just kept on using it and just kept on filling it up, that over the course of time, that little piece of hose that was stuck in there would disintegrate also, and the problem
was
gone.
Man, that's the most bogus thing I've ever heard.
So they replaced the master cylinder, and that didn't fix it?
No.
Yeah, so this, fortunately, you've solved the mystery, because it's the only other thing it could be, which is the slave cylinder. And if I'm not mistaken, that slave cylinder is part of the clutch release bearing, which means you've got to take the transmission out to replace it.
Now, the thing is, the slave cylinder isn't that old. These guys had replaced it about a year and a half before that, maybe 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
and they bear no responsibility for this most recent catastrophe?
Well, they claim it's the hose.
I don't see how the hose...
I don't understand the hose theory at all.
Huh. But I'm interested in learning, because it may come in handy someday. So they think that a piece of the hose is in there, and that's causing the leak.
Yeah, there's somewhere stuck in the slave cylinder. So.
Oh, I got it. They think that this piece of hose is somehow interfering with the seal in the slave cylinder.
Yeah. So that
fluid is getting past it. Another way, imagine if you will, that there's a seal inside the cylinder, which is the slave cylinder. And this piece of hose is lodged between the wall of the slave cylinder and the seal.
Yeah.
Much like a pencil would be in there.
So when the piston moves...
When the piston moves, the fluid just comes
pouring
out. Exactly.
Pouring out. But if that were the case, you would certainly see fluid on the ground. You could make it leak by just stepping on the clutch.
Well, he is, to the tune of about a quarter week.
No, but why didn't the shop do that?
Oh, they didn't... Who knows? But no, these guys, I don't buy the piece of hose theory.
I don't either.
I think that's bogus.
I think you got a defective slave cylinder and they have to replace it. And, especially if you step on the clutch 20 times and you're empty.
Yeah.
And I would argue that they should split the cost.
Okay.
First ask them how much it's going to cost you. When they tell you it's $900, say, fine, I'll give you $450, you do it.
Yeah, because if you tell them first that you want it to pay half of it, they'll say it's $1,800.
Right.
Good luck, Ken.
Thanks very much.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-78-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Wait, we didn't answer his question. Why was he so stupid as to never mind.
That wasn't his question. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Hello.
Hi, this is Susanna in Missoula, Montana.
Susanna.
With a Z or an S?
With an S, two N's, and an H.
And the H. You have the H.
I'm the longest way my mother could possibly spell it.
Wow.
Susanna from Montana.
Isn't that nice that it rhymes?
That's good. Can you spell Montana with an H on the end, too? Why not?
I teach middle school, so I often see that happen.
So middle school is what, 6, 7, 8, 7, 8, 9?
6, 7, 8.
6, 7, 8.
The finest young people you'd ever want to meet.
No, they're
Are
not.
Are you kidding?
I taught two of those grades.
You did?
Yeah, they wanted to kill him. He wanted to kill them.
I had first dips.
This explains so much about you.
Yeah, does it?
Doesn't it?
It really does. You've been scarred. And I grieve with you.
Teacher abuse.
Well, I'll tell you, and I don't mean this. I don't know how I
mean
know
what
this.
You're going to say too. Say it. Just come out and say it. Everyone hates you anyway.
Well,
you got nothing to lose.
Okay. Then I'll make a clean breast of it. I hated the girls.
Oh, they are the meanest people.
The girls
they?
Were the worst. They absolutely were. I mean, the boys you could reason with.
Well, and you could slap them around a little bit.
I was going to say, that's the only reasoning they hear.
So is it true for you, too, that the girls are worse to deal with? I mean, maybe it was just my male perspective, obviously, that made it.
I think that's part of it. And I think part of it is people just don't call girls on it often enough and say, listen, do you know what you look like when you make that face, rolling your eyes and sighing at the same time?
But they were mean. And they were mean to the teachers.
Oh, they're mean to each other.
They were mean to the boys, and they were mean to each other.
It's brutal.
They're brutal. They are the cruelest creatures known to man.
And that's why I love them.
So you're on a mission.
I am. I'm sort of a... Well, you know, you were there. You have to be happy.
I was there, but I escaped. I climbed the fence. So anyway, how may we help you?
I think jumping in your car and dashing off while 100 kids running after you with flaming torches is not escaping.
Well, if I'm going to make my big escape, I need a clear windshield. And my problem is I have a Corolla wagon. And what I have is really lacking pressure in my reservoir for my wiper fluid.
Ah.
So instead of getting a nice squirt, I get a little... It goes about 4 inches up on the windshield, and then I'm sadly disappointed in my fluid. So we pressed the little button and found where the puddle ends up.
Ah.
It's over on the passenger side.
Yeah.
And we had the hood up, so we kind of figured it... The hose wasn't where we could get to it very easily.
But yeah, it was leaking out of the hose?
It must
somewhere
be.
Along the way.
The hose runs... If you're standing in front of the car, facing the car with the hood open,
mm-hmm,
the
it's
bottom
on the left.
Is the left corner, left front.
Yeah.
Closest to the headlight.
Yes.
Okay. And the hose, I believe, runs from there up over the plastic fender liner, which you can gain access to by touching the area above the tire.
Uh-huh.
So you need to find the beginning of the hose, which is at the where the pump is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then the pump is at the bottom of that bottle.
Okay.
And then that hose runs along the above the fender liner and connects to a T-connector where it allows some of with a T-connector allows some of it to go to the left washer nozzle and some to go to the right. But before it gets to that T-connector, the hose has got a crack in it.
So it's before the T-connector?
Yeah, it's a simple
matter
like
it. Yeah.
Of removing the headlight and the fender and the hood, and you'll have the new hose in there in no time.
Oh, is that all?
No. You can gain access to it pretty easily, I think. In fact, you don't have to even run the hose where the old one was. You can just run a new hose.
You think I could find a middle schooler who hotwires cars that could do this?
Yes. No, this is within your grasp, Susanna.
Yeah.
All right.
Follow the hose. And as soon as you have two ends of it, just buy another piece of hose and connect it to the same two ends, and you're home free.
You'll go to the auto parts store and ask them for buy 3 or 4 feet of windshield washer hose.
And I will be just the envy of all I know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Having had first your advice and then a successful experience fixing something.
Yeah, that'll be great.
What could be better?
What could be better?
Well, Suzanne,
I
can tell.
A couple of days off from those little animals.
You'll succeed. You're a courageous person. More courageous than I was.
I don't know if more courageous or less proactive about moving on.
How long have you been at this?
8 years.
Yeah, you're ready for the home.
Yeah. See you later.
I'd say you've done your term, kiddo.
Thank you for all your wise advice.
See you, Susanna.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
That's got to be hell. I mean, you don't just have one or two of them like you have at home. You got a room full of them.
Oh, yeah.
You can't hit them. That's the worst part.
You know, but there were no prohibitions about tying them up.
Oh, the duct tape seemed to work good.
Okay, look, it's time to take a break, but when we come back, I'll have the answer to last week's murder mystery puzzler.
Ooh, a mystery. I love mysteries. You know?
Oh, yeah, I know. Like how to find both of your butt cheeks in the show. You're still working on that one, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we'll be back in a minute.
When the sunshine hits the windshield, she's 5 years old again. When the highway turns to dirt road red, she's 10. Smell the fumes when she's pumping gas. She's 15 years old. And she remembers when 19 sounded old. She was the light of the highway. You know, five-speed queen makes my day. She was the lily of the highway. She's free. Yeah, she's free. Yeah, she's free.
And even though Goldilocks wonders who's been messing with her radio's presets whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hyundai. Take the road less traveled in the newly redesigned Hyundai Santa Fe with available H-Track all-wheel drive to help you get off the beaten path a little further and intuitive safety features that can help you see what's waiting around the bend. Plus, with generous room for five and comfortable available Napa leather seating, you can go for more drives as a family without driving each other crazy. Find new adventures together in the Hyundai Santa Fe. This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit on how much you can earn. It's amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/match. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Whether you're looking to discover a new series to binge, find your next great read, or check out that movie everyone's talking about, NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast is your guide to all things entertainment. Every weekday, we keep pop culture in high spirits. Listen now to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and answer to last week's puzzler. You listening?
No, I was actually reading mail, but you go ahead.
An off-duty policeman is working as a night watchman in an office building. Yeah. He's making his rounds, and he comes upon a closed door.
Mm.
Behind the door, he hears voices, raised voices. An argument seems to be taking place.
Yeah.
He hears someone say, "No, Frank, no, don't do it, Frank, no." Followed by three gunshots. Bang, bang. Bang! And a thud.
Yeah.
The night watchman, a.k.a. policeman, barges through the door and finds the following. A dead guy on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Not breathing. A smoking gun.
On the floor also.
Also on the floor.
Yeah.
And three people in the room, alive and breathing.
Yeah.
A minister, a doctor, and a plumber.
Yeah.
He walks over to the minister, and arrests him. How did he know the minister did it? And he didn't have on one of those badges that says, "Hi, my name is Frank."
Yeah. No. Have a nice day.
The smiley face. The answer is only one of them could have been named Frank, because the other two, the plumber and what was the other one? The doctor.
Doctor.
Were women.
I was married to a Frank once.
Don't go there. Who's our winner this week, Tommy?
Our winner today is Frank. No, our winner is Robert Mandela from Dothan, Alabama. And for having his answer selected at random from among those thousands of correct answers that we got this week, Robert is going to get the usual, a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division. And what a great gift this is. Good work, Robert.
We'll have a new puzzler. And I've got a bunch of puzzles in the mix right now.
Yes.
And I don't know what's going to emerge. No. Either it'll be good, interesting,
and I
lousy,
have some ideas for
folkloric,
you.
Folkloric, historic.
I got some ideas for
and
you.
And that'll
for
be coming
puzzlers.
Up later in today's show. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chris from Brainerd, Minnesota.
Hi, Chris.
Chris, from where? Brainerd?
Brainerd, Minnesota. About 2 hours north of Minneapolis.
Oh, man. So is this like inside the Arctic Circle?
So you're calling about your sled dog or what?
My snowmobile, actually.
Snowmobile?
Really?
No.
No, wise guy.
Well, I am calling because Minnesota probably is one of the best places in the nation as far as keeping the roads free and clear of snow and ice.
Yeah, they plow well, huh?
And they use a lot of salt.
And they use a lot of salt and pepper. A
lot of salt. Mm-hmm. And I have a Toyota Camry. Now, I thought there was a little speck of rust appearing, so I thought the best thing to do would be to get out my Dremel tool, grind out a little bit bigger spot than where the little teeny rust speck was, and then cover it with some touch-up paint.
And now you've removed both rear fenders, right?
A little at a time.
Well, no, I did this right before, the winter, and put a coat of wax on top of my handy job to make sure, it was more protected. And then we started getting the salt and the snow and stuff, and the thing exploded. It was like cancer. Rust appeared all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh, so you just ground it down till it was pretty much shiny metal?
Mm-hmm.
And you waxed it?
Well, I put some touch-up paint.
Oh, touch-up paint.
Yeah.
And then I waxed it.
Did you put a primer on it first?
No.
That was mistake one.
Oh, you didn't. You just put the touch-up paint right on the bare metal.
Yeah.
That was wrong.
Okay.
From my many years' experience in body work.
Okay.
About an hour. I did learn that you got to put primer on.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you got to go back and do it again.
And if you teach English, you can even call it primer. Doesn't matter to us.
But you've got to grind it down till it's bare metal. There are also lots of products, I think, on the market that are designed to slow down the advancement of rust.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Rust-Oleum, for example.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's this other stuff called Extend.
Okay.
I like Extend. Extend actually has a product which is supposed to do all the stuff that the Dremel tool does. You just paint it on, and it gets rid of all the junk.
Wow.
If they have one now, that you just add to the gas tank.
while you sleep.
So you could try one of those things.
Okay.
The bottom line is that you're on a slippery slope, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, once it starts, I mean, you'll be out there every weekend doing this. You'll have no social life. Your girlfriend's going to dump you because you're going to be out there in the curb fixing all these rust spots. So you're going to have to bite the bullet at some point and buy another car.
Well, I got two things to say. One is if there's rust on the fenders, it would be not a bad idea to either crawl under the car yourself or have your mechanic take a look underneath to see if any of the structural pieces are also rusty.
Ah, good point.
That would be a good thing to do because the car might be ready to fall apart.
Ooh.
And the next thing is, what do you do with your Dremel tool? I recently bought a Dremel tool, and I can't find a single thing to do with it.
He keeps asking me if I have any cavities. I'm afraid if I fall asleep in his house, I know it's going to happen. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to need zzzz.
Well, here's what happened to me. First of all, it just seemed like a wonderful tool to have.
Right.
And I ran out.
You can drill shape, sand, or
you can drill shape, sand, engrave, route. You name it, you can do it. Right. Except I don't have any need to do any of those things, so I decided I would do some, like, project-y hobby things. But I can't get interested in, I mean, how many birdhouses can you make? So I decided the problem was I didn't have enough accessories. So now I'm buying accessories, which I also don't know. What I bought, for example, the router table.
Did you really?
What's to route?
Well, you're gonna.
I thought it was gonna show me how to get places.
you're gonna. I can see you're going to make a Lloyd Lohr style Gibson mandolin.
Well, see, every time I buy an accessory, I realize that I'm not doing anything with it because I don't have some other accessory. My latest, I'm saving up now for the scroll saw.
Do you have the mandolin maker? You got that, man.
You can't make a mandolin. I even go to their website. They have all these little hobby things to make. The stupidest, how to make a little rolling toy for your grandchildren. The hell with my grandchildren. Let them get their own rolling toys. I'm not going to spend my life making little rolling toys. No.
I'd start working on a walker for yourself.
But so what do you do with yours is my question, Chris.
It does have to be one of those tools. It looks great in the TV ads, but yeah. Once you take it home, it's not that useful.
My problem is, too. I think it's because I don't have the scroll saw.
I think so.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just curious. Thanks for telling me that you agree with me.
And get the underside checked out because you may be in the market for a new car. And why would you want to waste every weekend dremeling if you could be driving around?
Dremeling.
Something new.
I've been dremeling.
See you, Chris.
All right. Thank you very much.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi. This is Laurie in Hilo.
Laurie
in Hilo. What's that?
Hilo? Oh, yeah, stop it.
Hilo, Nebraska?
Yeah.
Hilo, Hawaii.
Yeah.
Hilo, we know where it is.
What's up, Laurie?
I have a Nissan Pathfinder that we have had to name Wobble Butt.
Wobble Butt?
Really?
I love it.
It's a four-wheel drive car, and it's off-road maybe 8 hours a week. And driving along the road, it feels like the back wheels of the car drive over the wake of a boat. And it sets up this rock in the rear end. And the roll in the rear end kind of causes a complimentary yaw in the front end.
So the back end is like moving from side to side?
Right. Like a giant finger has come out of the sky and just pushed on the side of the car. And that kind of makes it feel like it's fishtailing as well.
Got it. Got
it. Okay, excellent.
When was the accident?
There was no accident.
Oh, yes, there was.
No,
there wasn't.
Well, maybe I'll take that back. When was the incident?
I've never hit anything. I've had the car for 3 years.
Yeah.
And this started in June.
Right. There hasn't been an incident, but you have bought tires.
Well, okay. I replaced the shocks and the struts at the dealership, and they aligned the wheels. Mm. And that didn't solve the problem.
But you hadn't bought tires prior to it?
Not prior to that.
There goes that theory.
Shoots that out of the water.
Shoots that theory right away. Okay.
Since then, I have purchased tires and had the wheels aligned again.
And nothing has helped.
No. In fact, it's getting worse. It's degenerating.
I love it. If you were to drive it at high speed, like 60.
Yep.
Does it shake to beat the band? I mean, is it...
No.
It doesn't.
No.
But whatever wobble increases in frequency from a 30-mile-an-hour trip.
Well, it doesn't. It's never happened below about 40 miles an hour.
What's the frequency of the wobble at 40 miles an hour?
The frequency of the wobble, boy, that's hard to figure out.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
if it's going back and forth, is it going bup, 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 bup?
That's a little slower than that.
Maybe
like that. And if you slow down, it stops.
And what happened? How is it at 60 miles? If it's bup, 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 bup at 40, what's it like at 60?
Bup, it's bup, kind, bup, of, the bup,
kind bup, of the same. Bup, 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 it's kind of the bup, same.
You haven't had an accident. You swear to that.
No, I swear.
Good accident.
And you've replaced all four struts?
Well, it has regular shocks in the...
Shocks
it
and
has,
struts.
It has regular shocks in the rear and struts and shocks in the front, and I replaced all of that.
Yeah, and it isn't that. It is something like... a broken or a loose spring shackle, a bent axle flange, A seized Universal joint?
I like Universal joint. I felt...
I've always had a thing for Universal joints myself. Have I told you about this?
No. The only trouble with that is it would change when you're going faster.
Yeah, well, I think Laurie's just misrepresenting.
You think she's lying to us?
I think she's lying, yeah.
Well, I might be.
Well, no, I mean, I will tell you that people, and we've been dealing with customers who have had to explain the same kinds of things to us for more than a quarter of a century, and people are woefully inadequate at explaining things, yeah. Especially when it comes to frequency and,
like,
so I'm not to say that you're not good at it, but I think you are, and you may be 100% right, and we're very accustomed to being 100% wrong, but I think that it could easily be something like a bent axle, and these would be things that would get overlooked. And I would have somebody take out the rear drive shaft, the drive
really?
Shaft that goes to the back wheels, and see if that universal joint is seized.
That sounds really expensive.
Not to take it out and look.
You think maybe it would be better just to buy it a grass skirt, you know, somewhere
in Hawaii? I would get it looked at because it could be dangerous. If the universal joint or one of the joints is seized, then in fact it could lead to the drive shaft falling out.
That's not pretty.
That would be really unfortunate.
Yeah, so and it's cheap to have somebody look. They can unbolt that drive shaft in 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, and have them check the axle flanges, too, to see if an axle isn't bent in the rear.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
All right, see you, Laurie.
Because
bye.
She does drive it off-road.
Mm.
You have to consider.
I did consider. That's why I asked her when the incident was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Something happened.
But I still have a feeling we're missing something. You know what we're missing?
The
right answer. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sean from Seattle.
Hi, Sean.
Sean, how are we going to spell that one?
S-H-A-W-N.
Oh, all right. I had already misspelled it.
Really?
Everyone does.
Yeah. But anyway, Seattle.
Yeah.
Got it.
What's up?
So, I've got a Volkswagen Scirocco, and whenever I drive over 45 miles an hour, the dashboard screams at me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a big,
yeah.
And I can't hear the radio, I can't talk over it, and it's really distracting, and I can't go on the highway.
Open the hood.
Uh-huh.
You with the car now?
No.
You have the car with you at all times? If you open the hood, I believe you will see a speedometer cable, which is about, maybe 3/8 of an inch in diameter and black.
Okay.
This cable is pointing right at where the speedometer would be.
Okay.
Inside the car.
Okay. If you follow that cable and you'll come across another piece of plastic, which you may have to move out of the way, I think you'll come to a little black box.
Okay.
Unscrew the cable from that box. The noise will be gone.
But will my speedometer work?
And your speedometer will be gone, too. ascertained.
Yeah.
But I think it's more the odometer than the speedometer.
Well, you can't have one
they're
without
together,
the other.
You can't have one without the other.
So when you disconnect the cable, you are going to determine that that's where the noise is coming from. Now, you can, if I'm not mistaken, this car may have a long cable and then a little short cable.
Okay.
And it could be either one of them that's making the noise. And I'm going to guess it's the short cable.
Okay.
And you can go to your Volkswagen dealer, and you can buy one and put it in.
Okay. There's no way of just making the noise stop and keep the speedometer. I'll have to do all this stuff.
That's correct.
Yeah, but at least in the meantime, you won't have to listen to the noise anymore, and you won't be incurring high mileage numbers on your odometer.
Well, my odometer is broken anyway.
Odometer is already...
Okay. Yeah, it hasn't worked since I've owned the car.
Oh, but the speedometer works.
Yes, the speedometer's always worked.
There you go. You can have one without the other.
Well, by the way, it's illegal to drive around without a speedometer.
I don't care. They arrest Sean in Seattle. What's it to us?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Go for it.
Power to the people.
Just leave us alone. Leave us out of the story.
I was once pulled over by a very nice state police woman.
Yeah?
For speeding.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And?
Well, it's a trumped-up charge, of course. But I informed her, as everyone does.
That your speedometer didn't
work. No, it worked, but I couldn't possibly have been going 78 miles an hour. My speedometer said I was doing 55. And she said, well, I'm writing up for 78 and for faulty equipment. Whoops. So,
good for her.
Yeah, so if you do get stopped for speeding, I don't think I'd use the excuse that your speedometer doesn't work.
Okay.
Yeah. See you, Sean.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, it's time to take a short break.
I know. You have to put the finishing touches on that new puzzle, don't you?
Well, if you consider the question and the answer, the finishing touches, then, well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I guess that's all that's left to do.
Great. We'll be back in a minute.
In November, they didn't drive a Chevrolet. You wouldn't waste the money on a Caddy. Had a state 8 mil behind the road and asked to grill. And later on, so did my daddy. With my daddy or my grandpa, it was all the same. Used to spend a lot of time in the fast lane. Well, it's easy to see. Today's Buick for me is nothing but a pale imitation. You got to the sea, but got you by avenue. Man, you gotta be kidding. If there's a reason I'm late, then I'm sorry to say. It's cause it took me out of Buick on the motorway.
And even though jurors everywhere beg to be sequestered whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Joe explains the importance of creating a safe space for therapy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that say that expression, like, I've never told that to anybody. That's when I know I've made some kind of momentous move with this person. They feel safe enough to expose that part of themselves, and doing that together with somebody else can be very powerful.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
On NPR's Consider This podcast, we don't just help you keep up with the news. We help you make sense of what's happening, like why the housing market is wild right now, what safe looks like once you're vaccinated, and how an increase in border crossings is testing the Biden administration. All of that in 15 minutes every weekday. Listen now to Consider This from NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Well, I'm encouraged that you didn't go bogus over the last week's puzzler. No.
Well, that wasn't bogus.
Here's another cheat. You can go bogus this week if you want.
Is this part of the Guy Goes Into a Convenience Store series?
No. This is the...
World War II series?
No, this is Rising Floodwater series.
Okay, go ahead.
A family of four and their dog are trapped on an island.
Oh, one of these.
What? You're going to like it. When rising floodwaters tear out the bridge that they had used just a few hours before. So they're on this little island and they can't get back.
And they got one little rowboat and a light.
They got no stinking light. Frantically, they search for some means of crossing. Of course, they find nothing. And then finally, when they had just given up hope, the son says, I've got a boat, a small boat and oars. They gather around, but their joy was short-lived because the manufacturer's instructions printed on the boat's stern tell them that the boat can carry 180 pounds. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank God grandma isn't with them.
The mother-in-law's not around. So there's mom, dad, and the two kids. Is that it?
The dog. And The dog's the only one who can swim.
Yeah.
And the boat can carry 180 pounds.
Got it. I'm writing this down.
The father weighs 170.
Mm-hmm.
The mother says she weighs 130, but I think it's more like 155, actually. The son is 90 pounds. The daughter is 80. And the dog is 15.
But the dog can swim.
But the dog can swim.
The dog is going to have to take the boat back and forth.
Is there any way in which the family can be saved? And of course, we know that they can be saved because we would never give a puzzle that didn't have a happy ending.
Yeah.
How could they be saved? Then what's the fewest number of crossings?
Yeah, save everybody.
To save everyone. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $20 bill and send it to... What happened to the 10-inch reflector telescope thing. I mean,
it was hopeless. It was hopeless. I'm telling you, shoot for $20. Don't overstretch.
Jeez,
$20 is good. If we could only get 20s, we'd be good.
If we had enough 20s, we could buy a telescope. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
Our Fair City,
Ma 02238. Or you can email your answer to us, of course, from cartalk.com. Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Christina, and I just moved here with my husband. Here is North Carolina at Heavenly Mountain from California, and we have a 96 Toyota Land Cruiser.
Wait a minute, California, so that means you spell Christina with a K?
No!
CH. Yeah.
And you live on Heavenly Mountain?
Heavenly Mountain in North Carolina.
I mean, could there be a better place on Earth?
Oh, God, no. And today is the singularly most beautiful day I've ever had in my life.
How long have you been there? A week?
just pulled in last night.
No.
Really, it's the most singularly beautiful day
ever.
Wow, I mean, that's quite a thing.
I thought about that earlier driving around. First of all, we had the Blue Ridge Parkway, and there are no commercial vehicles and no signs.
Oh, the Blue Ridge Parkway is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Isn't it?
And the clouds are these big white clouds, and the wind is blowing, and the cows are out, and the grass is green, and the wind's going through. Oh, it's just gorgeous. It's heavenly. It's heavenly.
Why did you move from California to North Carolina?
To be at Heavenly Mountain.
Excellent idea.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a good idea to me.
They're the oldest mountains in the world, and some of these roads are the oldest probably ever made.
Who told you that? Carl Sagan?
You know.
The oldest mountains in the world.
In the world.
Oldest mountains in the world, they are.
Not that it really matters.
Yeah, but says who?
That's very old. And the second oldest river in the world, it's called the New River.
The newer, the good name.
Yeah.
That's like the guy who's taking this course about geology and stuff, and the teacher says, does anyone know how old the Amazon River is? And the guy in the back raises his hand, and he says, yes, sir, I know. It's 1,003,000,000 years old. The teacher says, how did you come up with that number? He says, well, I flunked this course the last time I took it 3 years ago,
right.
At which time the teacher said it was 1,000,000,000 years old.
There you
well,
go.
That's what these mountains are.
So anyway, Christina, what are you driving?
So we're driving a 96 Toyota Land Cruiser, which you think would be perfect for here.
Yeah.
But the roads are narrow because they were made when the cars weren't so big.
Good.
And it's pretty precision driving on these mountain roads. I'm telling you, there's no room for error.
Yes, I know.
First, we learned you have to tie everything down in the car or it comes and hits you. And the second thing that happened is on a left curve, the doors would all unlock on their own. And then...
Unlock but not open.
Yes, unlock. And then the light overhead, the inside light, started to flash on these curves. Not all the time. None of this happens all the time.
Right.
You can't, gear up for it.
Right.
And one night parked, we don't have a sensor alarm. The alarm went off just on its own. No wind, no...
The car was parked outside.
Parked outside, yeah.
Hmm. All right.
Doesn't anyone screen these calls? Come on, what is this?
Well, let's go back
to
what you say on left-hand turns.
Yeah, left curve.
Left curves.
Curves, yeah.
The doors will unlock.
Yeah.
If you're driving this thing and you were to open the door, let's say the doors were all locked while you're driving.
Yeah.
If you were to open the door, would the other doors automatically unlock, or does that you have to unlock them manually?
No, they all unlock.
Yeah.
When you stop the car with all the doors locked,
yeah.
How do you get out? If you just open one of the doors?
Well, if you stop the car and turn it off, they unlock. But if you don't turn it off, you have to push the button that unlocks, and they all unlock.
They all unlock. Okay,
yeah.
So what's happening is, somehow or another, one of the passenger doors...
Passenger door is loose.
Yeah, it's not latched properly, and as a result of that, it's causing the light to flicker, and it's also making the doors open up because it's like you opened the door while you were driving.
Try this.
Oh yeah.
Here's what you do.
Okay.
You start up the car.
Yeah.
You have a second key, right? So you can close the door, leave the engine running.
Yeah.
And get out. So now everything's locked.
All right, now go in the house and put on a pot of coffee. Because this may take time.
Then you go around to the passenger side doors.
Yeah.
And you pull on one of them.
How about if I stay in the car and my husband does that?
Your husband? You have a husband?
Yeah.
You could do that.
Sure, let him do it.
You know, we shipped it across country, so maybe the door did get loose when it was...
Yeah, or this could have fallen off the truck in, like, you know,
yeah, Arizona.
No, it was inside one of those big trucks.
The whole, I bet either that or they took it out and drove it around a little bit. Something happened.
It's
in
a
the
classic
trip.
FOT situation.
Okay. What
fell off truck.
Yeah. But I suspect that even the alarm going on might be associated with this, too. Everything is tied in together.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, and I'm sure that if you went to your dealer.
Yeah.
And explain to them what you've told us and what we told you.
Yeah.
And ask them to check the passenger side doors for tightness or whatever.
Yeah.
They might be able to find it.
Oh, yeah.
They may be able to just adjust the latches on those doors
uh-huh.
and solve your problem. I suspect it's the passenger front door.
Oh.
I do too.
Because no one's ever used the other door.
I agree with that. Not that. I mean, I had no reason for thinking it. I just felt it.
Oh, good. See you, Christina.
I think you're right. Thanks so much.
Hey, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, look. There I was sitting the other day reading the Chronicle of Higher Education. You know, I do that all the time. And I was looking for a job. Because, frankly, I need one.
Yeah, you do.
I've got to get out of the house. And listed here is a job that I almost didn't believe. Fordham University. I mean, Fordham University is a pretty well-known, prestigious place.
Yes.
And they have... You know, when you get to be a real high muckamuck, you get an endowed chair.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, they, at Fordham University, they have an endowed chair in literature. And they're advertising for someone to fill
this
chair, so to speak. Now, what is the chair called? I mean, it's obviously named after the person who gave the money to endow it. Get this. The Thomas Malarkey Chair in Literature. I don't make this stuff up. The Malarkey, I mean, how can you in good class, you go to a little faculty meeting, well, what's your job? Well, I'm the Malarkey Chair in Literature, even. It might as well be the Thomas Malarkey Chair in BS.
Bull feathers.
Bull feathers. I love it, man. I love it.
Well, I think you should apply for the job.
I did already.
Because I think you're an ideal candidate.
They have my resume.
Oh, I'm sure.
I haven't heard from them yet, but I will.
Now, don't forget, if you have anything interesting for my brother to read, send it to him at Good Mail Division, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email him stuff from cartalk.com.
I can hardly wait.
If you want to talk to us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
That's a lot of numbers, you know?
Talk while I catch my breath. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bob in Sandy, Utah.
Hi, Bob.
We have a little disagreement with my mother's car with my brother-in-law.
Okay, we got a mother... Brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law.
This is a new one. Well, usually we have husband and wife, our parent and child. Brothers-in-law are new to us, but we will do our best to apply the general rules.
Okay, great. Well, between my mother and my brother-in-law, they've had several Nissans, and my brother-in-law insists that the heater doesn't blow hard enough, and he insists that his mechanic told him it's because they're made in a country where it never gets cold enough in the winter to worry about heaters.
Uh-huh.
But I've seen those NPR or public TV shows with the snow monkeys, so I know it snows over there.
Yeah.
But his mechanic told him that he could change the ductwork under the dash, put in some bigger tubes for just a few $100 so it would blow more air.
Mm.
Well, I don't think the mechanic... could do that, can he?
Okay, well, first of all, how does this guy get to be your brother-in-law?
Well, he married my sister.
Married your sister. There are various ways to become a brother-in-law, right?
Right, he could be the brother of your wife.
He could be. That would still be a brother-in-law. But this guy married your sister.
Right.
Okay, now, what's your mother got to do with this?
She birthed my sister.
Otherwise, this guy would not be your brother-in-law.
Exactly.
Ah, I got it.
And whose car is it? It's
Well, it's my mother's car, so that's how we ended
all
up.
Right. Okay, that's how she gets.
And
involved.
Mom is mother dissatisfied with the amount of heat, or is this seed
been
planted?
Well, I think my brother-in-law thinks she is.
He thinks she is, so he's planted the seed.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, I think, very difficult to put new ductwork under there in any kind of car, Nissan, whatever.
I thought that might be true because
there's no room for anything.
You could put a glove box in. You could put a glove in, let alone a bigger tube.
So I think your brother-in-law is nuts, as is the mechanic who told you he was going to do this for a couple of $100. Whether or not fans don't blow hard enough because they come from countries where it doesn't get cold enough, there is some truth to that. Because back in the older days, we had the same problem with Italian cars, with British cars, where it does get cold, but not cold like it gets in certain places here. And as a result, when they put in heater boxes, they think that they're adequate, but they're nowhere near adequate. I drove around for many years.
No, they never thought they were adequate. They didn't care that they were inadequate. They put them in and they said, we know you're not going to get enough heat, but if you want to be seen driving around in a Fiat Sport Spider,
that's it. This is one of
you'll
the prices
have
to you have to
tough
pay.
It out.
But they were adequate for where they came from.
And moreover, they didn't think those cars would even run in the winter. So the fact that they ran, period.
You don't have to worry about the heater because it'll never start in the winter anyway. It's like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. He said, don't worry about being afraid of the fall. He says, you'll be dead before you hit the water.
Anyway, if your mother-in-law is not unhappy with it, is your brother-in-law, is this the first foray into, what do you call it?
Familial relationships?
No, his first foray into the supernatural. In other words, is he a complete wacko? My brother has a brother-in-law like this.
Has this brother-in-law ever been taken aboard the mothership?
I'm going to have to ask him.
I would ask him.
I think he's nuts.
If anything, a higher temperature thermostat is probably the answer. But if your mother isn't complaining, tell this guy to mind his own business and leave his sister alone.
And I suspect what his mechanic would probably do is not change the ductwork, but somehow alter the operation of the blend door so that it mixes in less outside air, which is not a good thing to do because you can contaminate the air inside by having it recirculated too much and actually have carbon monoxide poisoning or oxygen deprivation or whatever. Don't let him mess with it. If there's not enough heat and the correct thermostat won't fix it, then buy another car. That's right. Buy a good American car with good heat.
Maybe he should just buy a heavier coat.
Or a heavier coat.
Right, try buttoning his coat.
Give him a pair of socks for Christmas and tell him to shut up.
See you, Bob.
Plug into the cigarette lighter.
Right. Those electric socks.
Electric socks. Hey, that's an idea.
It is an idea.
Why didn't Volkswagen ever think of that back in the 60s? Hey, thanks for calling, Bob.
Okay, bye.
See you later. Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Risman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Key West Conch Colada and Cocoa Butter Cotillion, is John Bugsy Lawler. Really?
Yeah, he's back.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjorie Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Car Talk Plaza senior ornithologist is Seymour Robbins. Our employee orientation specialist is Trudy Gauntlet. our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our French vacation specialist is April Lynn Paris. Our Australian tour guide is Joaquin Matilda, and our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the chipmunks on no-dos in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our Taste Challenge clothing and best of collections all over at CarTalk.com. Also this week at CarTalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though mayors in at least two villages look up and say, "Are we missing our idiot?" whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.